Navaisatmatmavatam Saritama Saktas Trilokyam Bhagavan Vasudevaha Nastri Kritam Kashmalam Ashnuvita Na Lakshmanam Chapi Vihantum Vihatum Arhati. Not Vai indeed Saha He Atma the Supreme Soul Atma Vatam of the self-realized souls. Saritama, the best friend. Sakta, attached. Trilokyam, to anything within the three worlds. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevaha, the all-pervading Lord. Na, not. Sri Kritam, obtained because of his wife. Kashmalam, sufferings of separation. Ashnuvita, would obtain. Na, not. Lakshmanam, the younger brother Lakshmana. Cha, also. Api, certainly. Vihatum, to give up. Arhati, be able. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Please repeat. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls. And he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Purport. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all opulences: wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi, Shri Sti Sthiti Pralaya Sarana Shaktir Eka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vivarti Durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshmana, Lord Ramachandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarsana. And Lord Ramachandra himself is Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who are always rendered transcendent loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the super soul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of his mother Sita and Lakshmana. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra from the self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Navaisatmatmamatam sritama saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudeva astri kritam kashmalam ashnuvita nalakshmanam chapi vihatu marhati. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is a very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife in Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskya Dhyade Siddharane. Apparently the activities of Lord Ramachandra are something of a materially attached householder suffering a loss, and therefore getting together an army to go and defeat Ravana, and so many ups and downs in his career. His wife almost gets burned to death after the battle. Then after she's pregnant, he puts her into the forest. So many different things. Seems like a very pitiful story. Just about to be crowned, he's exiled. Finally, he gets it together. The exile is almost up, his wife is kidnapped. And one pitiful thing happens after another. The monkeys are eaten by Kumbhakarna. So many monkeys are eaten by him that they're coming out his ears. But actually, it's meant for us more than anything else, these pastimes, so that we have something to think about other than what's on in the newspapers. Because if Krishna had just ordinary activities, everything went according to plan, it was all smooth, we wouldn't be very much attracted to it. You know, Lord Ramachandra grew up, became king, and everything was all right. There wouldn't be much excitement, much of a plot. So therefore, Krishna has to create these stories just so that we can take interest in it. That here is, what was Trishira, and what was the name of the other Trishiras, the three brothers of Ravana, not the brothers, but the general-in-chief of Ravana who fought against Ramachandra when he was in the forest, remember? Trishira is one of them. Well, Trishira is, there are commanders of Ravana. Karna and Dusha. Karna and Dusha, yeah. 18,000 actually, warriors. 18,000. And Lord Ramachandra fights them personally. And it's quite exciting how he cuts off the heads of Trishira. Trishira means three heads. And finally he has to kill Dushan. Therefore, it makes for good reading. We could read it again and again and again. And even Sita is being exiled into the forest, or at Ramachandra and Sita being exiled into the forest, it's quite moving. It's emotionally. How his father suffers. And for one who becomes self-realized, or one becomes purified, then one can actually feel eventually the feelings of Dasarath, the ecstatic feelings of separation from Lord Ramachandra. Right now, we don't feel separation from Lord Ramachandra. We feel separation from prasadam, which will happen in 40 minutes. So it's a kind of separation, and luckily it's something spiritual. But it's not certainly on the same level of experience that the intensity of love and separation that Dasarath was feeling. We may think he was suffering, but actually the more one feels separation from Lord Krishna or his expansions, then the more one actually gets their intimate association. Now when we feel separation from something, it's usually out of lust or anger or greed, and it's covered with delusion and forgetfulness, and it doesn't really have much understanding or intelligence behind it. But those who have purified hearts, when they feel separation, they're actually there. So our method of going back to the spiritual world is to feel separation. When we actually come in contact with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the most intense feelings of separation, it can't be nothing can be comparable to Srimati Radharani's feelings of separation from Krishna when he left Vrindavan. Therefore, she most intimately associates with Krishna. That's why Lord Krishna wanted to take her at least covering of her mentality, of her consciousness, because that's the most intimate way you can experience Krishna himself. So Krishna wanted to experience himself through Srimati Radharani, because Srimati Radharani is able to experience Krishna more than he can experience himself. So if you can't understand that, that's good. If you think you understand that, then it's a little... We can only really understand it when we come to the transcendental level fully. But in any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to experience three things. One is the qualities that Krishna has. Just like we have, every one of us have qualities for good or bad, but no one experiences, we can't experience our own qualities the same way other people experience our qualities. Isn't that right? Just like we may think we smell good. Everyone likes the way they smell. We hardly ever found anyone, they were ever disturbed by the way they smell, their body smells. But other people may experience it in a different way. So that quality is different according to the perceiver or the perspective. So Krishna has unlimited wonderful qualities, but Krishna experiences them, but no one experiences those qualities the same way that Srimati Radharani experiences them. The love that they invoke is much more than the love that they invoke within Krishna. Krishna loves himself just like we love ourselves. Hopefully we love ourselves. I mean our real selves. When we find out who we really are, then there's something to love. Of course, if we don't, we find some problem with our material personality, that's probably a good thing. If we're too much infatuated with our material personality, that might be pretty much an obstacle towards any kind of spiritual progress. But it's a symptom of love, because actually our material personality, this material experience we're having right now, is actually Krishna. We may think it's ourselves, but actually it's not ourselves. This body that we're in is actually not ourselves, it's Krishna's body. Even our mind is not even our mind. Our thoughts are not even our thoughts. They're given to us by the material energy. They're actually Krishna's energy, and therefore ultimately they're Krishna's. Even our perspective on life is given to us by the material energy. It's not even our ideas or our perspective on things. is also given to us by the material nature. We're simply sitting there thinking, oh, how great I am. But actually we're thinking how great this body is, how great our ideas are, how great our feelings are. But actually it's not us. We're simply admiring Krishna's energy, which is indirectly a compliment to Krishna because it's his energy. So actually we're in love with Krishna's energy. And when we get into any body, we fall in love with it. That's the nature of our loving feelings. As soon as we get intimately connected with a dog's body, we think that we ourselves and our dog body, dog personality, dog perspective of life, that there's nothing greater in the three worlds than this. We embrace it wholeheartedly. So that's true for all the 8,400,000 species of life. Every living entity, practically speaking, in the material world loves their material experience. They think it's fantastic. They wouldn't give it up for any other body or experience because they take their body as supreme. They take their ideas and their mentality as the topmost mentality as supreme. But actually, we're aloof from all these things. We have a different personality. And it's simply a question we can see. We can love anything if we're put in a certain circumstance. And therefore, when we're put in a circumstance, when we actually come in contact with Krishna, then we'll also love him. But we'll love him much more than we can love a dead material body, or a dead material mind, or ideas centered around dead material things. We'll love Krishna unlimitedly more than even we love our own selves. Therefore, when no one can experience Krishna more than Srimati Radharani, right now, we have some experience of Krishna due to the mercy of the holy name, the mercy of the Krishna conscious philosophy, the mercy of devotional service. We have some experience. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dealing in a different, completely different realm. Srimati Radharani is dealing with a completely different realm beyond liberation, beyond just a little experience. It's the full experience, unlimited experience. But still, it's an intense experience, and therefore when one comes in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a little bit, the experience becomes very intense, very blissful. Because Krishna, he's simply Satchitananda, the full Satchitananda Vigraha. There's only bliss in Krishna, there's nothing else. You can't cut Krishna up and find anything but bliss. It's the whole experience. But unlimited varieties of bliss. Everything Krishna has ever manifested from his energies has the same nature as he does, simply different varieties of pleasure. I mean, 32 flavors of Baskin ice cream is nothing compared to the variety in Krishna consciousness. And it's all the nature of ever-increasing awareness, but increasing awareness of how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful everything is in relation to Krishna. How everything is wonderful because it's related to Krishna, it comes from Krishna. And then to experience how Krishna's loving Srimati Radharani, to experience Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani is also unlimitedly pleasurable because Krishna has unlimited love for Srimati Radharani. And it's all the nature of love, of real pure love. As Srimati Radharani loves Krishna purely, so Krishna loves her purely also. He also loves us, he loves every living entity, but his love for Srimati Radharani is reciprocal and therefore it's also unlimited. And similarly, the love that Srimati Radharani feels for Krishna is also unlimited. Nice combination. And therefore, if we can experience Srimati Radharani's love, then our love is actually will be invoked. Not invoked, but it becomes of this practice of the same nature as Srimati Radharani's love. And then we can experience Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani and all those wonderful qualities that Krishna has, and then we begin real life again, because that is life. And although this is the topmost experience, still, there are endless varieties of Krishna's experience. And therefore, he also comes with these wonderful pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman and Sita and Dasarath and Hanuman and all these other personalities, and they all have wonderful feelings towards each other. And these make wonderful pastimes. In the material world, they are not the same thing. It is simply punak punas charavata charavanana. We have pastimes here, but they're the nature of the combination of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The eight separated material energies of Krishna, endlessly in varieties, but more or less the same energy. When we say earth, we mean solid things. So there's so many things that appear to be solid here, although everything is really changing, because everything is under the influence of time. And time moves. First of all, time is moving air. Air, time is affecting ether, which moves air. So air is moving everything else. So although it appears that things are solid, but everything is changing. So how solid can things be if they're always changing? And in the midst of the change, there is friction. And that produces fire. When things rub against each other, it produces friction. And that produces fire, and that fire produces experience, illumination. And that illumination eventually gives rise to the development of precipitation, which produces water, which produces the taste, which ultimately produces smell and solid things. So then again, we're back to solid things again. So apparently, things are solid, things are going on in the solid way, and producing from water comes emotions, and comes all kinds of things, like fire comes also kind of fiery emotions. So everything is connected. From the water comes attachment. The very nature of water is that it keeps things together. And from fire comes illumination, which means discrimination and able to differentiate one thing from another. And that produces inspiration and aspiration. And then from moving of the air comes excitement and varieties of things and so-called progress or degeneration. So from this material experience, there's so many things that are going on, but it's simply the same thing again and again. People are born, they have great hopes they're going to enjoy, they work hard, the body diminishes and dwindles, and they lose everything and start all over again. So there's a little bit of the taste, a little bit of the emotion, a little bit of the experience here in the material world, but it's always disappointing because it starts out as the same way the Himalayas were about to give birth and they were shaking and everyone comes to see what the Himalayas will give birth to, and then finally out, coming out of the Himalayas is a little mouse. Sound or fury, but it actually signifies nothing. Because we want that intensity here in the material world of these emotions that are being experienced by these transcendental personalities. The intense emotion of separation from Lord Ramachandra. It's not even experienced in the material world. Someone is separated from their beloved child and they lament for some time, but there's no fulfillment. There's no real connection with the beloved child. It's more or less all based upon selfish interests, for the most part. Oh, my child, my investment, he was going to become a lawyer, he was going to support me in old age, now he's missing. So mostly it's all concerned about this dead material body and how to maintain it and how to glorify it, whatever else. It's all based upon our limited material experience in this dead material body, and therefore our emotions are rather limited also. Because it's all based upon not real living emotions, connection with transcendental personalities, with blissful experience. We're just separated from very small experiences. Because that's all we can have in the material world, is very small experiences. When the tongue comes in contact with different varieties of taste, No one falls over in ecstasy. We can have the nicest pizza party, but after all, the first pizza tastes good. Maybe we're in awe of it, but the second pizza is not as good as the first one, and there's diminishing returns. But we never saw anyone's hair stand on end eating a piece of pizza, or even a samosa, or a gulab jamun. There's some nice experience, but it's not overwhelming. And if it is overwhelming, then we'll always be disappointed that everything else isn't so insignificant, is not very good compared to that. Similarly, sleeping. How many people went to sleep last night when they woke up, their hair was standing on end? It was such a blissful sleep. I was in Vaikuntha for, 6 hours. And even mating, which is all more or less based upon having a nice relationship with others, a blissful reciprocation with others, it's such a limited experience in the material world. People can't even, after a while, they don't even talk to each other. They fall in love, they're courting each other for some time, and then it usually winds up in court also, but a different kind of courting. Because there's no science, people don't even know the science of relationships, how to make the relationships good, at least. What to speak of sweet, perpetually. No, they're thinking, I'm going to chew you for a while, and you can chew me. And when we get done chewing each other, we'll find someone else to chew. So with that mentality, how can the relationship be very sweet? Because it takes a science of relationships to know how to actually please other people, even if one's in the material world and has material objectives, even if the idea is to please each other from some material way. But the idea is that relationships can only be sweet if that's the objective. If my idea is to exploit you, how much will you actually appreciate that after some time? But if my idea is to please you and your idea is to please me in some even material way, then the relationship can go on in a pleasant way. But it's always going to be limited because our ability to please each other is rather limited. We may be able to provide each other with some food, but the taste of food is always going to be limited. We can provide each other with a place to sleep, but how much enjoyment can we actually get from sleeping? When we slept last night, was it very much different from the way we slept when we were 10 years old? Was this night so wonderful? I couldn't have had a better night's sleep. It was 100 times better than when I was 5 years old or 10 years old or 20 years old. My sleeping, the blissfulness is increasing every night. I just can't wait. I'm feeling separation from sleep. Or even mating. Is sex life so different? If it was so blissful and so increasing, transcendental, then people would be satisfied. But they're not satisfied. And therefore there's no end to the varieties they're trying out. Man, woman, man, man, woman, woman, animals, dead, live, birds, beasts, anything. Try it out. See what it's like. Trying to see, maybe this time it's going to be different. It's actually going to be perpetually, it's going to become Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of blissful experience. But it's not. And as far as defending goes, does anyone feel secure that now I've gotten my fifth degree black belt? No one can touch me because, they get destroyed as soon as they get near me. And I have my insurance, and I have my 15 locks on my door, and I have my anti-Yamaduta zap gun. I got it all covered. Does anyone feel so secure? Everything's, I'm going to live here forever. Nothing, not an atom in my body will ever change again. I got it all under control. No, we can't even stop one atom in our body from changing. So how can we feel secure? So there's no security There's no blissful relationships, absolutely blissful. There may be nice relationships. If one follows the Vedic culture and learns the proper psychology of service, then there will be pleasant, even enlivening relationships, memorial relationships, but they're not blissful relationships. Therefore, it's always going to be limited. So even when one has an ideal household life and everything is going according to plan, the children are sane. They actually, you know, are a little submissive. They're cooperative. They work for the family. Everything is ideal, but still one will feel something's missing. And therefore, without Krishna consciousness, everything is a waste of time. The difference is, if we have a nice household life, or if we have a nice material situation, we may realize this is not the whole picture, and therefore we may actually concentrate more upon Krishna consciousness. We may actually look to Krishna consciousness as the means of fulfilling our aspiration to become happy, rather than trying to increase unlimitedly our material circumstances, make them better and better. And if they're terrible, if the relationships are horrible, everything's terrible, then we still might look to Krishna consciousness in order to fulfill our aspirations. But the problem comes in between. When we're neither blissful, or we have maximum material happiness, nor maximum material distress, then we think, if I can get rid of more of my distress and get more material happiness, then I'll actually become happy. So we have neither. Complete material distress that causes us to turn to Krishna, or the amount of material happiness that satiates us and gives us the realization that I don't really need any material happiness, I need Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the greatest enemy is either complacency, where we think, you know, my material circumstance is fantastic, or we think that if I can just hankering and aspire for some better material circumstance, then I can actually find maximum happiness here in the material world. Therefore, Queen Kunti says, it's not a good idea to look for either wealth or to look for fame, to look for material position, to look for anything in the material world, because we're already crazy after these things, and when we hanker for them even more, then we become completely mad. And then we can't really call out to Krishna with some loving feeling. We don't see Krishna as the source of ultimately our association with him will be the source of our happiness. But here in these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and all his associates, the transcendental feelings that they all have towards each other are all wonderful. They're all relishable. Whether it's separation, or whether it's meeting, or whether it's fighting, whatever it is, they're all wonderful experiences. And for one who becomes self-realized, one can experience all these wonderful experiences in all of Krishna's activities. Whether he's on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, speaking to Arjuna, or here he's enacting these pastimes with his transcendental associates. Every feeling, every activity, everything they're doing is transcendentally relishable. But not from the material point of view. If we only take it from a material point of view, if we remain on the material platform, if our activities in our life are all material, then we'll also think his activities are also material. And that's as far as we'll penetrate into the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, we're not really so much interested in pastimes. In the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, as long as we're not liberated, we're not interested in so much the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, although they're good to read, because unless we understood what our goal was, unless we understood how wonderful Krishna is, we wouldn't have any interest in trying to obtain him. But we can't usually obtain him just by reading pastimes. We can only obtain him by learning the science of devotional service. We're not going to, Lord Ramachandra is not about to become our son. Sorry to tell you. We won't even get Hanuman as our son. It's not within our realm to have these experiences right now. There's nothing. We have no connection with Treta Yuga, what to speak of the Supreme Lord in Treta Yuga. We have no connection with Dwarpa Yuga. We may have some connection with Kali Yuga. But that the next incarnation schedule is Kalki, but he already has his parents lined up. Therefore, what we have to do is purify ourselves so that not that we're going to enact these pastimes in this world, in our own lives, we're going to become devotional. We're going to enact the pastime with this body that Krishna wants us to do, namely to perform our activities for the Sankirtan movement. And while we're doing that, then when our consciousness becomes purified, then all, everything about Krishna will become relishable, unlimitedly relishable, including all these pastimes. But our main pastime is to find out what this material pastime is. We're now in the pastime of the illusory energy. And we're having quite a pastime with this illusory energy. So now we have to find out how to get out of our pastime with the illusory energy and the pastime with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So we think, well, I'm already engaged as a devotee. I'm already in the Sankirtan movement. What more is there? Well, if we're actually in the pastime with the Sankirtan movement, every time we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, tears would come from our eyes out of ecstasy. We'd be overwhelmed with joy and transcendental tastes and experiences. Just like Raghunath, I guess it was Raghunath Bhat Goswami, he was able to recite the Bhagavatam in three different transcendental melodies. And every time he read the Bhagavatam, so many tears would come out of his eyes that it washed away the pages of the Bhagavatam. So by the time someone was trying to read the Bhagavatam from that he had, he couldn't read it anymore because it was all washed away. Therefore, we have to see that these things are very relishable and we should relish them. We should come to the platform, but what is the methodology of doing it? What is the science of doing it? So that we become unattached, actually, to our material conceptions of life. And therefore we become attached, like Krishna, like Lord Ramachandra is attached to Lakshman. He is attached to Sita. And therefore we'll never be separated from them again. In the spiritual life, we may feel separation, but there is no separation. Lord Ramachandra is always thinking of Sita, and Sita is always thinking of Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, it's impossible to be separated. There can only be apparent separation on the material platform. But they don't really live on the material platform. All these associates are eternally living on the spiritual platform. Therefore, their relationship is always going on, and sometimes in different ways. Sometimes it appears that they're separated, just like it appeared that the gopis were separated from Krishna. But in that separation from Krishna, that they experienced Krishna even more intimately than they were directly associating with him, when they were directly associating with him. And sometimes in the pastimes of Srimati Radharani, then she, even when she's in Krishna's presence, she feels separation from him. So how to understand that? Well, I can't understand it. But we have to hear about it, that we should understand that right now we're separated from Krishna, and we're separated from Krishna because we're attached to the illusory energy. And therefore, as we utilize our energies in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement and following the process that Prabhupada has given us, then gradually we'll feel separation from Krishna, and therefore our actual experience of Krishna will increase the more we feel separated from him. And then eventually we'll realize who we are, who's feeling separated. Right now, because we're feeling separation, we're attached to this material body, we're misidentified with this body, we don't know who we are, we don't know our identity. But as we feel separation from Krishna, then our real identity will be revealed, and we'll be very happy to find out who we really are. We'll be much happier to find out that we have a spiritual personality, spiritual body, and a spiritual identity, rather than identifying ourselves with this material body, which is the source of all our unhappiness. Our material conceptions and our material personalities and feelings, which are the sources of simply our unhappiness. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes?
I'm just thinking
Yes, everyone's self-denial. We're denying our real self. So we should find out who our real self is by following the process of affirmation. Gopi Bharata Padakamalayar Dasa Dasa Anudasa. We have to affirm that. I am nothing but Jivara Srupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. I'm simply the servant of Krishna's servants. And the more we become the servant of Krishna's servants, of Krishna, then the more we actually realize who we really are. So if we're feeling something other than Krishna's, being a servant to Krishna's servant, then we should understand this is a great opportunity to realize where the defect is and how I can work on it and correct it. We shouldn't be disappointed, because we have to understand, if I'm not completely overwhelmed with transcendental happiness and pleasure and endless varieties at every moment increasing, there must be something wrong. So now we're finding out what's wrong, and now we have an opportunity to correct it. So that's a great opportunity. If we thought everything was perfect, we already reached perfection. We were living in perfection right now. It'd be quite a disappointing perfection. Yes.
You mentioned that it would be healthy to love ourselves and yet unhealthy to love our material self. So how to avoid to become self-hating? Because of course,
self-hating?
Because we're many alike, so
we don't hate anything. We don't hate anything. We understand that these are gifts given by the illusory energy because of our past desires. So we don't hate that. We simply choose something better, that's all. There's no sense of hating anything. But we when we see the superior, we just take it up. You see, it's a waste of time. Awareness. Nanyang gunebhyas karataram drashteva nupashati gunebhyas chaparam veti madbhavam sadhigachati. When you see that there's nothing beyond the three modes in all activities and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to them, then you'll know my spiritual nature. Prabhupada writes in the purport, then for one who can see things as they really are, then the influence of the illusory energy gradually ceases. So it just goes away. Otherwise, to hate it means to become more attached to it. Hating is even more an intense emotion than even loving. So we don't love, we don't hate. We just become detached and it just goes away.
I'm asking because I see it happens.
What's that? Because they don't know who they really are. Their heart and their material personalities and material experience. But it's been created. It's a gift by the material energy. Because what we wanted in the past, what we did in the past, it's the reward from the material energy. So why should we be hard on it? Material energy worked hard to give it to us. But we should understand it's just inferior. There's something better to aspire for. So we don't worry so much about what's happening to us right now. We worry about where my consciousness is now. Is it really utilizing the opportunity to serve Krishna, to serve Krishna's representatives? That's all, under any circumstance. Prahlad Maharaj didn't hate his circumstance. Oh, why do they throw him in this boiling oil, you know? Why don't they just turn the temperature down a little bit? No, he's just chanting Hare Krishna blissfully. How long am I going to be here? You know, I've been already roasted for 5 minutes. You know, no, he just thought about Krishna. He didn't worry about it. He didn't blame Krishna. You know, I knew my chanting wasn't perfect, but I didn't think this was going to be the result of it. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.